My name is Marty Dangerfield and I'm recording from the lands of the Wathaurong people. We wish to pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
My name is Hester Brown and I am recording from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I would also like to pay my respects to elders past and present. We would also like to acknowledge that not only is this land Aboriginal land, but it's stolen land. And on this land, there have been 4 Aboriginal deaths in custody in the past 3 weeks. If this is an issue that you'd like to learn more about, the De Jure Foundation is launching this Saturday at the Abbotsford Convent. This foundation was set up in order to support the families of those lost to death in custody. And you'll be able to hear from families themselves to get a better understanding of the issue. You can find the De Jure Foundation on Instagram at DHADJOWA_foundation. This episode of The Significant Others is not at all sponsored by Wanala Weaving. However, we wanted to take the opportunity to direct you to our friend Sam's amazing business. Sam describes Wanala Weaving as a Yorta Yorta woman beginning to create contemporary basket weaving, and you can email her for custom orders. You can find Wanala Weaving at wanala.weaving on Instagram.
How cute is her stuff though? How sweet are the earrings? The little boomerang earrings are beautiful.
I bought Christmas baubles for my family and they're really awesome.
Oh, it was really sweet how she was talking about Nev helping her get her Christmas orders together. I thought that was absolutely gorgeous. I can imagine them like sitting on the ground working away together.
Yeah, that was so cute. It's a nice image. I feel like they're such a beautiful, sweet couple, so well suited to each other. And I don't know, when I think of them, it just makes me smile. So I think the idea of them weaving together is extra adorable.
And I actually Googled after Sam told us the story about the jumpsuit and the Brownlow and getting ready in the car. I was like, I actually want to Google and see what this jumpsuit is all about. And you would never know, like, she looks so radiant and confident. You wouldn't know that she'd just like had a really stressful day and jumped out of the car and got dressed. You're literally in the car park next door.
I love that story. It's like, yeah. You know, it's supposed
that
to be
that to me is relatable.
Totally.
That to me is being like, oh, I can feel the stress of that day when she's talking about that story.
Oh, absolutely. But I think too, like I love that she didn't give up. She was like, nah, yeah, I'll get dressed in the car park. And there's always like, there's always people loitering around Crown too, like just throughout the day. So it sounds like the funnest outing to me, but whatever floats your boat.
You're the one last week that said you're an extrovert and you get your energy from people. Me, not getting my energy from people. My cup needs to be so full to surround myself with people. I feel like this could be a dream come true for you.
Look, I'm not, I wouldn't say strangers is where I get my energy from. I would say friends and family, but yeah, no, I mean, that's all right. It's an interesting vibe, Brownlow Day. Mm. It's not my favourite day, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll have to cover that at some point on the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's for another day. I do remember one year when Pat forgot his bow tie as well. It was funny listening to Sam being like, oh, my God, they're so hopeless. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was wearing the same suit for the last 3 years and he just, yeah, couldn't find the bow tie. And I actually think – I have a feeling my mum was up there with me and she ran down the street to find one from, I don't know, Meyer or David Jones or just something like that, that they're hopeless, absolutely hopeless.
So much easier too if you get to wear a suit.
And the same one every year.
Yeah, well, you can't tell the difference, can you? Somebody wears an interesting suit every year, but it's only going to be one person and I can tell you it's not going to be my husband.
Yeah, that's Pat recently. The last couple of years, got his vibe going with his what did he have last year? A maroon. We actually,
I like that one.
Coincidentally coordinated last year that I didn't know he was wearing that, and he didn't know what I was wearing because we don't really discuss it.
What is this, a wedding? You don't know what each other's wearing.
Yeah, I don't know. We just don't talk about it. Now it seems weird saying it now, but at the time it didn't until we turned up and we were matching. We're like, oh, we don't know if this is like really cute or if it's really weird.
I think it's really cute. It's okay. Maybe if it was like lime green you were both wearing, that would have been a bit more of an obvious match.
There's a lot of problems with that.
Hey, no, its own. Be you. Somebody please come in lime green this year.
Someone else, not me, and don't put me anywhere near Pat.
I'll do it. Someone make me a lime green suit. I'll wear it.
There you go. It's out there now. It's in the universe. Hester, wait and see what happens.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I think we should probably, we should probably do like a question and answer on the Brownlow and just not take it too seriously at some point. Marty's like, no.
If you're ready for it. If you're ready for it, I'll yeah, I guess why not? We make all these assumptions, I suppose, of what people would and wouldn't want to know. Maybe they don't care.
True.
Maybe they won't ask any questions.
Message us if you don't care. Yeah. Let us know that you don't care. We'll do a poll.
Please. Oh, I feel like we get enough people telling us they don't care on Brownlow Night. Isn't there a lot of that?
Yes.
I don't care. Well, what are you doing here? Go find another Facebook page just to troll.
Yes. Very accurate. Although, wasn't it you that apparently didn't care last year at the Brownlows?
That I didn't care?
Yeah, I thought there was some trolling that you like didn't look excited enough or something.
Yeah, I think it was more there was a photo of Pat and I, we weren't smiling. We were probably, maybe it's just resting bitch face. I don't know. But we weren't, gleefully marching or strolling into the event together. I mean, we were side by side, but yeah, there was all these comments of like, they must have had a tiff, had a fight on the way to the Brownlow. There was a comment that was like, she can't believe he's not wearing socks. it was one that I did respond to. I thought it was very funny. There was a comment that was like, they've broken up or they've had a big fight along the way. And I was like, it's so good to find out this information on social media just so I can keep up to date with my own relationship. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
That big fight about the socks, did it? Marriage over?
Socks. Tell you what, it is hot up there. I don't know if I'm built for the Queensland lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm not.
How's Brisbane having to stay in Melbourne? How's that?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because we all stayed in Brisbane last year.
I know that it was like, it feels like quite ironic.
It does, doesn't it? And Gold Coast heading over. But I just keep worrying about the women's team. Like, please tell me that there's a contingency plan to make sure that, maybe they won't get their home final, but please, please no cancel finals.
Imagine they couldn't back to back.
No.
They'll figure out a way.
They better.
They'll figure out a way. I mean, it's lucky that they ended up finishing high enough on the ladder that they have the week off.
Yeah, for sure. I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out, but I'll be having my AFLW finals. Thank you very much. What did you think of the last week of the season?
Oh, I couldn't believe how much the ladder changed.
I know.
It was so good to see the Cats girls get their first win of the season, Woo-hoo. Finish the season on an absolute high. It was very, very fun to watch. It's a shame it wasn't in front of a home crowd. That's the only thing.
I'm a big rap for Captain Meg McDonald, so very happy to see her run the women out for a big win.
Yeah, it must be a pretty special feeling having her first as a captain. It's a pretty big honour to captain your club at any stage. So, yeah, I think that I'm hoping, from all the media that I saw that she did, because she was everywhere, it's very, very cool to get that win and finish on a high.
So exciting. There was
there were some absolutely smoking games happening to finish off the home and away season.
Yeah, I sat down for some footy on the TV on the Saturday and I watched three of the AFLW teams that I actively support in two games. So I watched Freo North and I was going for North because they needed to win to get into the finals, even though I consider both of them to be two of my teams. But it was such a good game, so exciting to the end. And then I sat down and watched Melbourne play and get a really exciting win too. So it was just like amazing football, close finishes and super exciting.
Yeah, and it did impact how the finals are playing out. At the end, there were so many different games happening that could have impacted the ladder.
Mm. And Adelaide just came out of nowhere. I didn't have them in my book for minor premiers and they jumped up a few spots that win over Collingwood. So well done, Adelaide.
Considering in the first couple of years when Geelong didn't have an AFLW team, I was supporting the Crows probably more exclusively than I am with any of the teams now. So it was a nice couple of first years for the Crowies. But it's funny that you say they came out of nowhere. Like they're a pretty good side.
As like a double premiership side, they came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Shocked.
I listened to a great interview that Shiloh Curtis did with Darcy Bessio on
cutting oranges this week too. And I think she did such an amazing job of articulating what women's sport can mean. And I love the way she described like not having an AFLW team, because she literally just goes for everyone. That really made me think of us and our lack of ability to choose a team.
Yeah. So going into the finals now, and I'm still looking at it being like, I don't know. I wonder whether I'm like, because there's no front runner and I do like to pick a winner, whether that's part of my indecisiveness, but I can't settle on one.
It's hard to pick, but also actually I did just mention Darcy Vesio. So shout out to Darcy Vesio for taking home her second leading Balkanese award this year.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah. Oh, wee. Mm-hmm. I mean, should we continue to fangirl over Darcy for another episode?
Probably. We could get at least four episodes out of that, I think. What about your – you have a finals prediction? Who are you going to – if you're going to put your money down now, if you're going to gamble, but you won't because, you know, we don't do that here, who would you be putting your money on?
That's what I mean. I'm so torn. Maybe I'm torn between my heart and my head sometimes as well.
Okay, give us a heart and a head.
My heart says Melbourne.
Oh, hi, welcome.
Yeah, my heart says Melbourne. I think that's – a love of Daisy Pearce and
fingers crossed she can play.
Yeah, I just love Daisy Pearce and I really hope that she will be able to get back out and play. But I do, yeah, I always get so torn between like picking an underdog but then still wanting to pick a winner, because just winning is
winning really is enjoyable.
It does. It does. What about you, Hester? Is your tip?
Oh my gosh. Okay. My tip, and this is like a head tip, I'm going to say Fremantle. They've had a couple of losses recently, but I think that their best is pretty spectacular.
Well, you did say in our interview with the Antonios with Ebony and Cara that you need a loss.
I know, they've had two
and
now.
I disagree. So they must be twice as ready.
Or have they undone it?
It's all just reversed each other. I told you, winning is the way to go.
So speaking of AFLW and the season that we've had and predictions for the finals, we thought we might bring someone very special onto the show this week to give us a bit of a rundown and talk us through how she saw the season. You might recognize her as the significant other of one of our guests from season one, Lily Kadee Matthews. If you haven't listened to that episode, I really recommend it. She is excellent person. But you also might recognize her as absolute AFLW superstar Sabrina Frederick. Maybe you could start, Sabrina, by just telling us a little bit about how you're feeling now that the season's over.
I probably think it's a mix of emotions this season, our team, that we progressed so much. So there's probably a major sense of pride in just seeing what we've been able to achieve, and how much we've been able to grow in the space of a year. Probably a sense of relief in some aspects that people don't understand, but when you're balancing two jobs and a personal life as well, it can get a bit draining. So I think just a sense of now I can spend some time with my family and get my feet back on the ground and have some personal time. But also excited to see what happens in the finals. The last few games have been so close and competitive, and the league is growing so quickly, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
It was a super exciting year for you guys, getting your first win on the board and then backed it up with a win at home at Punt Road too. Can you tell us about those two games in particular?
Yeah, I mean, the first one down your way in Geelong, it was freezing.
You're welcome.
I'd never played there before. I love the ground. I really love the ground. Yeah, that first win, I think, was just a rush of emotions, especially because that whole last season, not getting a win at all, and just seeing the hard work that the group had put in over the off season during COVID lockdown and just a whole heap of stuff during that time, and being able to still work through that and to be able to put into, I guess, play all the practice we'd put in over that time and come together and get that first win, not only just for us as a team, but what that meant for the club. The club is so proud, such a proud history, and to be able to do that for the club, for the fans, for all the people that have gotten us to where we are now. Yeah, it meant a lot. And it probably felt like we won a grand final, but, you know, to us that it was very, very special. And it's moments like that you'll never forget. So that one was huge. And then to win at Punt Road again, the history, people at Richmond are just so proud of the history, and to be able to play on that ground, I think it was the first game in, I think it was like since 18 something, since a game had been played and won there for premiership points. So yeah, to be able to do that and cement some history there and be a part of that and just see all the smiling faces, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, it gives me goosebumps. Although your first win was against Geelong, it was a little bit hard to watch. But you could see that emotion. It was just like flooding out of everybody on that ground. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to witness.
Can you tell us a little bit about that momentum that you've built up as a team and how you think that will roll into the 2022 season?
I think the focus this year is very much on the journey and the process rather than the outcome. I think some people probably thought we were out there to win a certain number of games and things like that, and there was no pressure put on us by the club or, you know, internally or externally. We sort of just made up our mind that it was about progressing and growing. And I feel like that momentum has purely just come from the hungriness to improve as individuals and as a team. And I think that then translates in results, and we managed to win some games, and when you put in that hard work and it pays off, it definitely snowballs and you want to keep doing that. So I think for the group, it's just about improving and knowing where we're at and knowing that we can get better every single day. And I think that you can only go up from there. If that's your mindset and you're not so focused on the outcome, you can only really go up. So yeah, I hope that that's the direction.
Sorry, the home and away season has finished up for you guys in a few clubs. Of the teams that are left, who is your prediction to take home the premiership this year?
I think that's a hard one. I think right now the competition, the finals teams are so competitive and it's really tight, which I love. I love that about football. I think any fan of the game wants it to be tight like that. I think if I had to choose, it'd probably be, and please no one get offended by this, it'd probably be Brisbane. They've just been consistent for as long as I've played there, and I know what they're about. I know what drives them, and I think that they're probably due for one, to be honest. And I think Fremantle as well. I think it could be any team, but I have a weird feeling it would be Fremantle and Brisbane.
It feels like as a spectator, this year the competition has gone to another level. Just to watch, the games have been incredible and the skill level just looks awesome. Does it feel like that as a player out there?
Yeah, definitely. The game is growing. There's more people playing the game. There's the talent that's coming through is huge. And I mean, it's probably growing at a rate faster than anyone probably could have anticipated, which has its ups and downs. But I think overall it's pretty exciting to watch. For me, when I first started playing footy, to know that there wasn't a women's league that existed, and now, like, people are itching to play or they want to be playing at the highest level. There are young kids watching us going, we want to play at the highest level. Like, that's amazing. You take away the wins and losses of the game, and obviously I'm a competitor and I want to win and all those things, but that in itself is so much bigger than football. Like, the change that we're having in the community and the country is huge. And, yeah, it's pretty amazing to watch and be a part of, and it's so exciting.
Yeah, I guess I'm a testament to that, Sabrina, because the inauguration of the AFLW was the reason that I started playing football and that my club created a women's team. And we always had junior girls for the few years previous, but to actually, like, be able to get 22 women out on a field – and it's just gone nuts down here in Geelong. It's awesome. So I am living proof of the history that you guys are making. So I have no interest or unfortunately don't have the skill to consider myself making a play at the AFL, but I do enjoy it just the same.
So, Sabrina, can you tell us a little bit about what is next for you? I feel like in the past you would have rolled into a VFL season. Is that happening now that the seasons are running at the same time?
Look, I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. I think the VFL season is running alongside AFLW. So I think the plan for most players would be to have a little bit of time off and then to sort of go from there. It's such a strange one. I think not many people understand sort of the setup for us, but I'm not saying we're Olympic athletes, but it's sort of like that. We train all year round for a short season, and the VFL is sort of helps us stay in form, I suppose, over that period of time. But it's not necessary for everyone to be in that. I don't think that everyone has to be a part of that, but I think for me, I'll play a couple of games. I love playing the game in general, so I would love to play a couple of games if it suits, but I also want to spend some time doing other things. I want to spend some time with my family, like I said, and yeah, I don't know. We will see. I would love to play a couple of games, but I've always been the type to challenge myself in this time and see what else I can do, so we'll see.
Yeah, I just think I look at it and I think it's going to be such a long time because it is a short season, such a long time before you actually play for points again. And I'm not to say that, you know, if the VFL season had run after the AFL season that you would have rolled in and played a full, the whole season in every game, but it is a long time, particularly when the game is growing so much and there are probably a few VFL players that will come up and push for spots at the end of the year and get drafted and things like that too. Like, it's a really long gap because your season is only 9 weeks.
Yeah, it's basically like playing a grand final every week. It's that intense, especially because the comp is so tight and because the season's so short. We understand that even if you lose one game, that could be the difference. And I think that when you look at it like that, that the intensity is that high every single week. By the end of it, some people really just need that break on their bodies and mentally. So it definitely looks different for all people. I'm sure there are some that roll out of this and go, I want to jump straight back into football, and that's completely fine. But, yeah, I am looking forward to some family time.
And can you tell us a little bit about Sabrina and what Sabrina's going to be up to outside of football?
Ooh. I'm always up to something. I've been doing a carpentry apprenticeship now and fully into that. I'm really enjoying that. So spending a bit of time on that. Some other things in the works that I can't really speak about. But also, I've always wanted to try like another sport or something, maybe not team related, maybe just individual, but I've always wanted to challenge myself. And last off season, I got the opportunity to go on SAS Australia, and I feel like I learned a lot about myself, and I feel like I pushed myself and got a lot out of that experience. So I think I'll probably want to do something sort of similar in the sense of challenges. So we'll see.
Or just more reality TV.
Oh, is that a teaser?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Let us write down a list.
Reality show thing, but yeah, I never say never, so we'll see.
She's going into the jungle. You heard it here first, folks. But I would love to know, Sabrina, who, if you could go back in time, who would you have picked as a premiership winner for 2020 last year?
Whoa, what a question. I love that. If I could pick a team for the premiership last year, there were so many teams in contention. I just love that, though. The last 2 years,
close. Who did we have left? Was it Carlton, Melbourne, Freo, North?
I feel like Collingwood was in there, weren't they?
Freo, Carlton, North, and Melbourne. Yeah.
It was so tight. It was so tight last season. But I'm going to go based on my prediction this year because I think they've just been consistent, and that's Fremantle. Yeah, I would have probably picked them. Based on just the form they've continued in the last three seasons. So, yeah, but we'll never know. So
we'll never know exactly. That'll be a question for the ages.
Very fair. Sabrina, Frederick, thank you so much for joining us today to have a little chat. We really appreciate having you on and hearing from you. We will be cheering you on in season 2022 as well. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
You are listening to the Significant Others podcast. You can find us on Instagram at the Significant Others podcast. And if you have got through this whole episode and you really would like us to talk about the Brownlow, send us a message over on our Instagram.
And if you'd really like us to not talk about the Brownlow, please also send us a message.
We'd be happy to do either.